Morning, everyone. Missed an hour in bed this morning. I said to Beth, it's no good this end of daylight saving for a church because people turn up an hour late. The other end's really good because they turn up an hour early and hopefully stay for the second service. But it's good to be here today and to be able to share the word with you. If you've got your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 to 11, and you'd be fairly familiar with Jeremiah going to the potter's house and God using the potter's work to speak to him. A couple of words before I pray and read the scriptures. Did a little bit of reading about Jeremiah during the week, and he was a very young man when God called him to be a prophet, and some commentators say he was 14. Now, I don't know what you think about God laying his hand upon you at 14 and saying, I want you to go and speak to my people and call them to repent and turn back to me. And Jeremiah says, I don't know how to speak, I'm only a kid. God says, don't worry about that. God reaches out and touches the mouth of Jeremiah and places his words, God's words, in Jeremiah's mouth. What an incredible start to a ministry. Jeremiah was also known as the weeping prophet. And I think in modern day terms, if he went to the doctor would say to him, look, you're deep in depression. And offer some medication, because the people actually persecuted Jeremiah. He also saw the destruction of the temple, the destruction of Jerusalem, and the Babylonians take the people of Judah into Babylon. So things were not great for Jeremiah. Let's come before God and pray. Father, we thank you that we can gather in worship today and share together. We thank you for your word and the way that your Holy Spirit brings it to life and speaks into our hearts. And we ask now, Father, that you would grant us open minds, open hearts, open ears to hear what it is that the Holy Spirit would say to us as individuals, to us as families, and to us as a church. For we ask in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Reading from Jeremiah 1 to 18. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I'll give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I have planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Now therefore, say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I'm preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Not a great message to take to the people, and especially as a young person. Here we see God hoping, and as I've prepared during the week, we have a God of hope. Not just that we hope in things that God's doing, But he's hoping that we respond. He's hoping that Israel, through the prophet Jeremiah, hears what he's saying. And I think with us, he's hoping and earnestly yearning that we'll hear what he says to us. He wants all people to hear his call. He wants all people to repent and turn back to him. And it's just lovely to, as you led us this morning with Psalm 51, to come before God and confess our flaws and weaknesses and repent. He hopes that all people will come to know him through the love of Jesus Christ. He hopes that all people will enjoy the joy of their salvation. Do you know salvation is meant to be joyous? That we can rejoice that we're saved. Sometimes I think the greatest work of the devil is to rob us of that God-given joy that he's given us. He has a plan for each and every one of us. And we hear here in the scriptures this morning, if I can do this, if the potter can do this with the clay, can't I do this with you? Can't I reshape you? Can't I mold you? I've got a divine plan for you. That's what I want to be at work in doing. What's hope? Now, a lot of people these days understand hope as wishful thinking. I hope something will happen. My dear old grandmother used to say, gee, I hope that we can go and do that. Touch wood. Never heard that one? Or, gee, I hope that happens and I've got my fingers crossed. And some people would say, and my toes. What useless things we do. I hope one day to have a hole in one. Playing golf. And yesterday I stood up on the third tee, which is about 150 metres, and I thought before I hit the ball, what if this goes in the hole? My hope's been fulfilled, and I won't be able to tell them tomorrow that I'm hoping. It didn't go in the hole. Not for one, it went in for two. So I can brag a little bit about that. But I learnt over the last couple of weeks that the chances of me having a hole in one are 12,500 to 1. Now, anyone who understands golf, Gordon, we would have to hit 12,500 shots on par threes with the chance that one may go in. That's our hope. Sorry? I thought you were going to tell me you've had three holes in one or something. But, the chances of that hope happening are slim. But I hope. Now, I hope that in 4 years' time, having been married 46 years to the one woman, that I'll be able to stand before the people of God and give God all the praise and glory for 50 years of marriage. That's been yearning in me, I think, for the last probably 30 or 40 years that I've wanted to do that. But I'm aware that that may not happen. Beth may not be here. I may not be. We may not be together. But don't worry, Beth. Don't worry. I have no intention of retraining another woman. I think that I am in trouble. But that sort of hope that I'm talking about is not the hope that God has. He has a divine hope. He deeply, earnestly yearns that we'll hear his word, we'll discover his divine plan, and we'll follow, be open and follow, and be reshaped. Hope's a firm assurance regarding the things that are unclear and unknown. Romans and Hebrews tell us that. And hope is a fundamental component of the Christian faith. Without hope, we have no meaning in life. Without hope, there's no meaning in death. But for those who believe in Jesus Christ, we have eternal hope, sure and certain. Not pie in the sky, sure and certain that one day we're going to be with Jesus. And the Christian who trusts or put their hope in God will not be disappointed. We can have a general confidence in God's protection. We can be free from fear. We can be free from anxiety. I said to the earlier service that I've discovered some of those things, but sadly, I am in that, and then I move out of that. I become worried and concerned. Then I discover that I've moved, not God. So I have to move back and get back into that right relationship with Him. The New Testament idea of hope is the recognition that in Jesus Christ, the promises of God found in the Old Testament are fulfilled in Him. Christian hope is rooted in the faith of divine salvation in Christ. It's brought to us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. I had an interesting conversation the other day with a Pentecostal character. Nice guy, wouldn't have a clue who he was, probably never see him again. And we were talking about being born again. And his understanding is that we come to know Jesus and confess and ask Him to come into our life, but then somewhere else we've got to ask the Holy Spirit to come. And I disagreed with him. My understanding is that the time that we ask Jesus to come into our life, we receive the Holy Spirit. Package deal, Jesus, Holy Spirit. Not somewhere down the track. Now, I could go on and talk about second blessings and being released in the Holy Spirit. That's something else. But the Holy Spirit comes when we come to know Jesus Christ. We're filled with hope. You're looking forward to the future. I'd love to be here one Sunday morning when the trumpet sounds and the angels come and Jesus appears to each and every person on earth. I don't know whether I'll be around or not, but the time will come where I'm in heaven with all believers, and I still think, I don't know much about heaven, but I still think I'll be able to look at Barry Carson and say, it was true, mate, it was true, as we worship the divine Christ, as we stand in the presence of God. I don't know how you've come this morning. I'm fully aware that we come to church and people have no idea of what's going on in our lives. None whatsoever. And we probably don't want them to know. We don't share some of those things. We've got needs. Maybe health issues. Maybe finances. Maybe we're having trouble with our kids. Maybe we're having trouble with our marriages. We don't want to tell people about those things. Maybe work for you is not filled with satisfaction. It's not a celebration to get up each day and say, I'm going to work. It's a real grind to get up to go to work. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I want to say to you this day that as we've gathered and come into this place, we are in the potter's house. We're in the house of God. We're clay in His hands. And there's hope. The Bible's filled with people broken, but there's hope in the potter's house. Let's be reminded that there are things right now that we can't see, but by faith we can hope for. There are things right now that we might not fully understand, but by faith we can continue to put our faith in God to reveal them. There are things right now that might cause us to wonder, but by faith we can trust God that He'll work them out. I've come across over the years a few Christians who really do believe that they have it all together. And in my early days, I was a bit overwhelmed and bluffed by some strong people who would say, "I live under grace, not law." I just think, gee, I must live under law. So it took a long while to figure that out. And part of what they are saying is, we've got it all together, and you haven't. I want to suggest this morning that there's none of us here who've got it all together. None of us have arrived. None of us can say that we've made it and we've got it all. Because God hasn't finished with us. He's still got work to do. Doesn't matter how old we are, He's still got work to do. You know, you know that my 92-year-old mum is in a nursing home, and it's not been an easy task over the past 12 or 18 months to get her to that point. But she's settled, and now she's saying, God must have a purpose for me here. There must be some people that I can help. I think, praise God. She's seeing beyond herself to God's divine plan, even in a nursing home, that she might be able to reach out and help someone. There's a lady said to her that her children were in England, and in all of her life, and I'm fairly certain the lady's 97, she has never, ever had a Mother's Day card. Never. You know what my mum did? Bought her a Mother's Day card. So we've never arrived. God's got work to do. We think that we've faced the last of our tests and trials. Think again. There's some work to be done, some more reshaping to make us into what God desires us to be. Listen to these words again. But the pot he was making, the potter, was damaged, was marred. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping as it seemed best to him. He didn't throw it away on the heap. And if I remember being in pottery places, there's always a heap of broken pottery. Failures. Things that didn't turn out. But God says, no, I don't cast you into the broken area and hopeless, gone. I reshape, remold, remake. The prophet Jeremiah, I believe, was depressed and deeply disappointed. Ever felt like that? I had. I can remember sitting in the corner of my study on a couple of occasions, deeply depressed. Deeply depressed about ministry. The heartache that people cause pastors. But I praise God that He led me out of that. It was good news for the people of God. God would not forsake them. He'd gather Israel to himself and remake them. He would give them another chance. Now, I praise God for His graciousness towards me. He's not only given me a second chance, He's given me a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, a seventh, and on. When I've messed up, He's given me the opportunity to start afresh. I think that's a beautiful thing. We're open, we like Jeremiah can find God in the ordinary things of life. I just want to encourage you as you journey through life day by day, you'll see different things. Just look at them through eyes of faith. Where is God in that? And I'll give you a couple of examples. On the west coast, we lived in the Manse. Opposite was 10 brand new flexi-paved tennis courts. After about 3 months, they cracked. Right across the back of the courts, there was a crack from one end to the other. And they had to call the big knobs in from Adelaide to see what they'd done wrong. They'd obviously laid the wrong foundation, or the material wasn't right or whatever. So the first thing they had to do was dig it up. You know what they found? Two mushrooms. Now, mushrooms aren't hard. Mushrooms are soft. And they had laid these tennis courts above and over these mushrooms that couldn't be seen. They'd rolled it. It was as hard as rock. And these mushrooms kept on growing. They came up and cracked those tennis courts. Now, we could just say, well, big deal. But I looked at that and realized that God, even in the hardest of times, can come and meet us at our point of need. He can break through what we consider to be concrete. Out on the golf course, I love creation. I got told off after the first service. What about the blue wrens? What about the kangaroos? What about the bush rats? That's what I couldn't mention everything, so I will for you. But out there, there's two tawny frogmouth owls, and they sit on the 16th fairway up in a gum tree, and I've noticed something incredible about the tawny mouth. With the hot winds that we've had in the last day or two, they've gone. As the forecast changes and it's going to be cool and mild, they return. As the cold front comes in and it's going to be rainy and windy and stormy, they disappear. They're only there when conditions are good. And I don't just see 2 hours. I see the miracle of God. That He, in His creation, would create two birds, beautiful animals. I'll tell you who I'm talking about afterwards, Gordon, but every time I look at them, they remind me of a friend who plays golf with these big bushy eyebrows, because they've got big bushy eyebrows, and I have a smile. But, you know, to see a big black snake slither across the fairway yesterday, I don't think I thought of God first up, but, you know, step back, let it go, and then you think, wow. God's creation is incredible. What did you say this morning? God creating frogs and... Incredible. Incredible. So, I just want to encourage you, look at situations through the eyes of faith. Don't just dismiss them. Perhaps there's a symbol there of how God might speak into our lives. The Apostle Paul says, we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and not to us. God is the potter, we are the clay. He's got a good plan for each and every one of us. He wants to remold us. He wants to work in our lives. He wants to make us more like Christ. He wants us to come into the potter's house with whatever problem we might have and place those situations in His hands. If we feel that our lives are marred, God can help us. If you feel helpless, depressed, burdened, put your life in the hands of the potter. If you feel controlled by the flesh and not the Holy Spirit, put your life in the hands of the potter. If you find it hard to forgive, or if you're a negative person, unable to see the things that God's doing in your life, come into the potter's house. Come to God. Confess those things. Ask Him to open your ears and your eyes. As God does His work, the hopelessness turns to hope. The low esteem is replaced by self-esteem. A noper in the eyes of God is a nobody. One of the greatest things I've discovered, I was pretty hard on myself in my early years. I didn't feel worthy in many, many ways. not to open that up anymore. But I came to discover that when I came to know Jesus Christ, I became a son, I became a child of God. And each and every one of us here are children of God. Now, that excites me. I can see that you're really excited as well. Laugh, smile, yes! We're children of God, we're not nobodies. Doesn't matter what other people might think of us, we're children of God. As you come to the potter, be prepared to be broken, reshaped into something beautiful. As he does his work, we'll be filled with hope. He wants to put us on the potter's wheel, make something beautiful of our lives. He wants to remake us. But you know, he doesn't force us to be remade. I think that's the beautiful thing about God. He invites us to be remade. We need to be willing and work with the divine plan of God. He opens us, or he invites us to open our hearts and allow him to work with us. He wants us to yield ourselves afresh. Jacob's life was marred. God remade him. David, the man who was so close to God, his life was marred, but God remade him. Peter, the one who walked and talked with Jesus, his life was marred, but God remade him and said, "Peter, here are the keys of the kingdom. Lead my church." I believe that God wants to take our stubborn wills. He wants to remake us that we might declare, "Lord, not my will, but let your will be done." David had a good look at himself. And in Psalm 139, he says this, and may this be our prayer. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Are you willing to let God take a look at your life? Are you willing to come into the potter's house and ask God to remake and repair? When I say repair, he doesn't put a patch on. He repairs and makes new. Let's come before God in prayer. Let's pray.